Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Let's give the Lord a praise offering in this place. Yes, Lord, we praise your holy name in this place. Oh God, this morning we come to you, and the desire of our hearts is that we want to be close to you, and we want you to be close to us this day. We bless your name in this place. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God Almighty. Bless the Lord. It is wonderful to be in the house of God. For those who's on holiday, may they enjoy it. But there's a special blessing for God's church here this morning. The Lord wants to give you a message. God wants to say something to his church today. God has something great up his arm. His sleeve is filled with something. He's about to do something great for every person here today. And for every person that calls upon his name. You know, the Lord has given me a message for his church. And it's a good message. It is a powerful message. It's a message of hope. So what does God want to say? What is the Lord wanting to say this morning to every single person here and the people listening over the internet? God wants to tell you, he is still good. You must take it for yourself today. You must accept the fact that God is good. So this morning I want to reflect upon the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is important in our lives. The greatest truth about God is that he is good. I wanted this morning to go down deep into the hearts of God's people, that he is truly very, very good. You see, our theology is based solely upon the truth and the fact that God is good. Everything we believe is built and based upon the fact that God is good. So if we don't believe that, then he's bad. Do you believe God is good? I will show you this morning that God is very, very good. And he wants to be good to us. You see, the day something happened to me when I was a young Christian. A deposit from the Spirit of God came to me, something I had to believe for the rest of my life on this planet. And I have personally been doing exactly that one thing. I have refused to believe that God is not good. It's been a battle all my life, especially when a person goes through deep, troubling times. Because that's right where the enemy stands at the door to make suggestions, to tell a lie, to tell the people here today that God is not good. So it's been a blessing to me. And I have absolutely in my life refused to believe that God is not good. That is something. Everything I face with a fact, with a knowledge, with a decision that God is going to be good. And when you do that, the outcome of that is always good. Church, I want to encourage you today. So today I want to make a serious statement. I want to be radical in Little Falls Christian Center. I want to be bold this morning. I want to make a statement to the church today. And the statement is that a person that doubt God's goodness cannot be a whole person. It's impossible to be completed in Christ and to be fulfilled and to be joyous and be happy if you believe that God is bad or God does bad things. We will have a look at that this morning. So I want to take you to my first scripture this morning, to Genesis 3 verse 1. Genesis 3 verse 1. I quickly want to have a look at what happened there right in the beginning. Something happened there, and it's funny how we always go back to that beginning where the greatest lie were told to mankind. So Genesis 3 from verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" You see, in the center of the garden, there was this tree. In the center of our lives, there is knowledge. In the center of our lives, that's the place where we decide what happens and what I believe. So in the center of our life, need to be placed deep, the precise center of our lives, there need to be placed the Word of God. If the Word of God is not found there, certain things happen with us. So let's have a look here. Then the serpent said, you see, the serpent said, it's a voice to the woman, "You will surely not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed leaves together and made themselves coverings. And then something happened. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So they moved from one tree to other trees, and they were busy hiding themselves, and they found themselves probably behind the fig tree with the big leaves. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden." Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, you should not eat?" My little bit of my focus, I want to focus the church attention upon what God said here. God said to Adam, "Who told you?" In our lives, in the center of our lives, we accept the Word of God. In the center of our lives, we either accept God's Word or we reject God's Word. But when we accept God's Word, then it will always be, "Who told you about your life? Who told you the things of the Word of God about your life? And what do you believe?" So who told you this here, the things that you battled? Who told you you were not going to make it? Who's the one telling you that this nation is out of control? Who's the one telling you that your marriage will not make it? Who's the one telling you that your health will fail and you will die? Who's the one suggesting to you that you're not going to make it? You see, when God asks, who told you? There were Adam and Eve in the garden and Satan was there in the garden. No other people. So God had the right to ask, who told you? Who's telling you what about your life? What you believe, if you believe the lie like they did, then certain things surely happens to you. You see, God asked the question, who told you that you were naked? It is the voice that still is with us today suggesting, here's the thing that this voice suggested. You can get God's stuff without obeying his commands. This is what Satan basically said. You can get God's stuff without obeying his commands. Now we know it doesn't work like that. So God will always ask you, when you go through tough times, what is the voice telling these people today? What is the voice you've heard this morning when you woke up? Is it a good voice? Did you discern the voice? What did the voice tell you? Now you know, the voice that I hear is the voice of a good God. It's not a bad God. So everything I decide to listen to must connect up with the central fact that God's word must be established in my heart. What you have been through the year, the voices you have listened through the year, has brought you to the place today where you are. And those voices need to be identified. It need to be replaced with God's word. If we want to see God at work in our lives in 2019, we need to ask today, who's going to tell me what about my future? Who's going to tell me I will go through a tough time? Man, when you identify God's voice in your life, it becomes the most peaceful thing. When God's word is placed deep in our heart, and when I believe that he's good, let's go on. I'm excited about the message. The Lord told me to tell his people that he's good. We have to take it and make it our own. God is not bad. The devil is bad. Dear child of God, who is telling you about your future? You know one thing, I really praise God for this church. Really. Since the first day in the tent that I walked through the doors, God has placed a man and a woman on this pulpit by Pastor Harold and Maud. Through all the years this nation have been going through difficulties, we had a man and a woman proclaiming the good news about a good God. I remember the days, the transition of the government, all these things, how Pastor Harold, how he encouraged the church, how he was praying, how he was telling people, don't go to Australia, they play bad rugby. But the people don't listen. They just don't listen. It's a good place to be here. We've been praying, church. Isn't it wonderful that God has given us a president, a new one, a good one? Believe it. God is good. He's going to do good things to his people. So, you see, we are made in God's image. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. God did not curse his church. He did not curse his people. He put a blessing on us. On me rests a blessing. I walk in that blessing. The blessing is mine. I believe it because my God is good. You've got to believe it today that God is very, very good. You see, and the next thing God said, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God's goodness and blessing upon a person's life causes a person to start multiplying. It causes a person to subdue, have dominion. These are military terms God has given to man because the Lord knew there's an enemy out there and he's roving, he's watching. He's watching God's people. So the one thing we need to do, don't focus so much upon the badness of the devil. Focus upon the goodness of God. So that when you see something happening, you call a good God into a bad situation, it turns out to be a good situation. Amen. Amen. Praise God in this place. I want to take you to 1 John 5. It says the following. This is the message which we heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Got to believe it. It's got to be part of your makeup, especially when you go through that difficult circumstances. When we are unfaithful, God is still faithful, right there with us. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So I'm making a declaration. God's blood is still washing. It is still cleaning up. It is still at work right now today. God's work, God's blood is still the most powerful thing you can call upon. If you call upon his blood still works. His blood is alive. Amen. Amen. You see, we cannot experience his goodness without walking and living in truth. Those who practice truth practice God's presence. You can always see when people tell lies, when people don't live according to God's word. They find it difficult to experience God's goodness. They do, and it's a fact. So the enemy of our souls is unbelief, and it is a great enemy, unbelief and ignorance. Do you know that this book is the only answer and solution that we have on this planet? If this book is full of dust, if it's not opened up, it cannot help you and me. It just cannot. So when, like Adam, the moment we accept the lie, we empower the liar. If I believe that God is bad, I empower Satan as a liar, and he will have power over me. So I've got to identify the lies and put God's goodness right there in the middle of it. So we have to say that God is good. I quickly want to take you to Moses. Moses had a wonderful experience in the desert. So if you've ever been in a desert going through a tough time, go and read Exodus. If you want to Exodus out of your problems, go and see how Moses exited with God into the blessing. Let's read it quickly here. Exodus 33 from verse 12, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you'll send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you. And that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us from this place. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. See, we are different. When we believe a good God, we are different than the normal people out there. We should be different. We look different. We smell different. We talk different. We are just different. You're different when you believe God's goodness. You become so different. But I want to take you to a point here. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. See, that's the key. The key to experiencing God's goodness in our lives is that God needs to know you by name. How does God know his people by name? Because they enter his presence on a daily basis. They call upon his goodness. If you don't call upon his goodness, if you don't seek him and search him, then you'll be out there in the garden and you'll open yourself up to the voices. The voices, the negative voices, the things that says you're not going to make it. But Moses knew the key. He knew that to take these 2 million people into the desert, he need to have God with him. So he wanted to make sure. Moses wanted to make sure that if I'm going to take the next step, that God is with me. And God will always confirm your coming in and going out. He will do that if we call upon his name. But listen to this. He said to Moses, please show me. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Why would he ask God to show him his glory? Because the glory of God is the presence of God upon a person's life. And Moses, here's the wonderful thing that God said to Moses, the following thing. He said, then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. All my goodness. You see, when you're at the right place, hearing the right voice, having the grace of God upon your life, you will experience the goodness of God. And the word of God says, God said to him, I will make all my goodness pass before you. All God's goodness. You see, when I meet with God in the morning or the afternoon or at night, God's goodness passes over us. Because I'm at the right place doing the thing that Moses did. This whole scene here, people, Christians, this whole scene was a prayer meeting. It wasn't just that Moses walked into the presence of God, la, 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 la. This is a prayer meeting. He went into God's presence. It says here in verse 13, now therefore I pray if I have found grace in your sight. It is that deep, connected prayer meetings that you spend with God, that God imparts and deposits hope. This is powerful to me. God says, I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I wrote here, the God seekers will be those that experience God's goodness. If you seek God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, 2019 will be the best year of your life. Take it. Say to yourself, proclaim it. 2019, I'm going to seek God like never before in my life. I'm going to seek his goodness. Amen. I love it. So God said the following things. He said, and he passed by him all his goodness. What is the goodness of God? That's a good question. You see, it says here that the glory of God passed by, but the goodness of God. You see, the goodness of God is that it is His character. God's character is perfect. It is gentle. It is kind. It is merciful. So when God passed by Moses, Moses stood up from that place and he could do anything. When the goodness of God comes upon you, you stand ready to do anything. You can be one person taking 2 million people in a desert because you know God's goodness is with me. God's goodness is with us, with His church, with those who seek Him. Praise God, I have an hour left to preach to you. So Jesus, the Lord Jesus, comes onto the scene. How beautiful is this? You see, the Lord says here in verse 19, then He said, I will make my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. God says, when my goodness passes by, I'm going to do something. I'll proclaim my name before my people. What does that mean? The name that God uses here is the name Lord Yahweh. And Yahweh is the covenant name of God. It means that God is in covenant with me. If I go to the left, God leads me. If I go to the right, God leads me. He always leads me into victory. That's the God that I serve. I don't serve Him to fail. I don't serve God because I might fail. No, never. We serve God because we win. Day by day we win. Are you winning? Yes, I'll make it a louder statement. I'll say, I'm winning. Are you winning? Okay. Praise God. So Jesus said the following. Jesus coming onto the scene, He made a proclamation. Like God made a covenantal proclamation, Jesus made a covenantal proclamation here. Listen to what Jesus said. He said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So people, the Lord wants to set people free. He's inviting people that are down and out to come to Him, to say, God, You are good. If I have done bad things, I'll repent of it today, right now. I'll experience God's goodness in my life. How do we experience God's goodness? Galatians 5:22. Without us becoming like God, it is difficult to experience the goodness of God. You see, the more you become like God, God has made us in His image. He made us to be like Him. He made us to experience Him, and we as fallen beings that have been saved by grace will experience His goodness when our character comes in line with His character. Only then, the channel becomes open. We hear His voice clearer. We experience Him much better. And how do you do that? Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you need to forgive that person also. So it starts with forgiveness. That's it. God needs to forgive you. You need to forgive the person next to you by starting to forgive yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close in a minute's time by quickly focusing upon King David. King David was a man that had a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble because he had a lot of enemies. He had a lot of problems, and he made a lot of problems for himself. But every time King David came through a troublesome situation, he did something. He went back to God, and he sought the Lord. I want to specifically focus upon Psalm 34, verse 8, which says the following. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Have you tasted God? Have you had a good taste of God? You see, many people smell. You when you have a nice piece of steak on the griddle, you smell it. Smelling is not eating. Smelling causes you to become hungry. You see, we need to get to the place where we start eating. Eating is the presence in His presence. Amen. Yes. Oh, praise the Lord. And you need to say it like David. You know, we tend to be like, just not too excited. We need to become more excited about things. David said, oh. You see, when you say, oh, you mean it. You get into the groove of, oh, God. David knew how to say to God, thank you. He said, oh. You see, we say a lot of ohs. Oh, I'm late for work. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, you know, it's Christmas again. Oh, I need to put this chicken in the oven. Oh, I need to eat this chicken. But King David, he said, oh, my God is good. He said, oh, I need more of God. You see, we need to get beyond smelling things. Get to tasting God. Have you ever tasted the goodness of God when He's come through for you? That's the place. Here's something, and I've got a lot more to give to you, but I'm going to stop there. James 5:14 says the following. God wants to say something here to certain people this morning. James 5:14 says, is anyone among you suffering? It says, then let him pray. It says, is anyone among you, what? Cheerful. What should he do? Let him sing psalms. Let him sing something. Is anyone sick? Let them call the elders of the church and pray over him. But I want to focus on that first two quickly. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. The answer is in the presence of God. Your solution to the problem you have is in getting to God and praying. But then usually we get to that place where we pray, we get the answer, but we don't do the second part. Because it says, is anyone cheerful? Have you moved from suffering to cheerfulness? If you have, it says you need to sing a song. You need to not forget the goodness of God, where He has taken you from. You need to remember that in the good times, we sing and praise God. We get committed to the church of God. We don't move away. Suddenly, God has given me $1 million. I'm going to buy a boat, and Vol River is for me. No, it says, bring the million, take 10 rand, bring it to the church, let us evangelize. But everybody goes on holiday with their blessings. We are here for a very short time, people. God wants to do some work. So, are there cheerful people here today? We're in the season of being cheerful, of praising God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You may stand. Praise God. Yes, let's give Him a good praise offering in this place. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we want to sing a new song. We want to say that You're good. We want to thank You this day for Your goodness, oh God. Hallelujah. Everybody raise your hands, please. Say after me, Father God, we thank You that You are a good God, that You are merciful, that You are kind, and that You love us. So, Lord, we will celebrate your goodness in my life, in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.